Okay, if I could have all the leaders come to the front here. Alvin, of course, is in Saskatchewan for the weekend, and Tim and Barb are on their way back from Newfoundland today, so we're looking forward to having them here. So, as your leadership team, we met on this past Wednesday in response, in most part, to Pastor Stan stepping down for a short length of time. In this meeting, we dealt with the following items. We dealt with the confession of sin by Stan. We talked at length about the impact of that sin on the body here, on the people offended, and of the ministry that Potter's Hands is engaged in. It is far too important. This ministry is more than just Stan. Even though he has been very, very instrumental in the growth of this community, I can tell you for a fact that there were many times that Stan and I stood off to the side, whether it was here in this fellowship or whether it was at the kitchen, didn't matter where. We stood off to the side and we just marveled at what God was doing. So, first off, I want to thank God. Also, I want to thank him for the opportunity that he has placed before us. It's more than a setback. We know for a fact that we have been under Satan's attack. Many of you here can personally attest to that. Stan as well. And we all respond to attacks in different ways. And but we know this much, is that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness, so that we have the ability to put on the righteousness of Christ. Amen. At this meeting, we also spoke about the need to reach out to those people offended. We need to reach out to Pastor Stan, Crystal, and family, and all others who were affected, you know, by the recent events. But most of all, I'd like to back up just a little bit. 18 years ago when this happened, and Stan stood in front of the congregation, I was not hurt. I was not angry. What I was I was sad, but I also felt guilt for never having raised Stan in prayer. That's all I felt. Now, I know that it has been those prayers that stop things when it was stopped. And so even though now we're having to deal with, you know, some difficult stuff, we know that prayer works. Amen. We have to look forward. Because this is the body of Christ. And we have to continue to prepare ourselves to look after the needs of those around us. Something that this ministry, of course, was built on. Also, when I look around this room, I see many people with an array of gifts that is just tremendous. So it is not the leadership team, it is not Stan, but it has been all of us working together as a family. And we have to remember that. We can sit down and we can argue points and we can criticize, we can talk about this, that, and the other thing. That gets us nowhere. What we have to do is we have to focus on Christ and we have to ask Him for the direction Amen. That we need. So these beautiful people standing here are part of the leadership team. And I have never before gone into meetings and walked out just as happy as I was really? when I went into it. Yeah, I really can say that because there has been a total spirit of unity and a desire to see the work of Christ done in this body. And that has never stopped in the time that we were here. But now some practical concerns. For the speakers and the music, Don, Chad, and Doug will be taking care of that. So if you have any concerns regarding the speakers or the ministry, their music, speak to them. And then also, we should never forget the people among us who are sick, elderly, in the hospital. I love that sneeze. So, of course, Stan is not going to be taking calls for a while. So, Norma was appointed before already as well. Any concerns regarding the health, the physical health of this congregation should be directed to Norma. All right? Now, this morning when I got up, I got an email from Dirk Budwell. I don't know if you remember. He spoke here just a while ago. He didn't tell me how much he liked me or, you know. And I know he does, in spite of what you say. But the words out of his mouth were words from Scripture. And in typical Dirk fashion, he always uses several versions of the same Scripture. And all he said was, "Dear Stan and Chris, Galatians 6, so no preamble. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And his favorite version, of course, is the Message. And that says, even if a man should be detected in some sin, my brothers, the spiritual ones among you should quietly set him back on the right path, not with any feeling of superiority, but being yourselves on guard against temptation. Carry each other's burdens and so live out the law of Christ. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. Amen. You might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for that, you're badly deceived. In his own words, I do not know what the outcome of the Potter's Board meeting was concerning Stan, but Scripture, in at least three versions, NIV, Phillips, and the most relevant version of all, the Message, is clear what should be done. Stan has done his part. He has confessed his sins to God, to his brothers and sisters, and now it is time for everyone to do their part. The issue is not about saving Potter's hands. The issue is following Scripture and letting God redeem the whole situation. It also means praying for our enemies. Loving our enemies. By far the hardest thing to do in the world, as far as I'm concerned. And giving God room to do his thing, which is to love. Finally, I truly met God at Potter's, and I learned that I was loved by him. The Holy Spirit and the friendships I made at Potter's transformed my mind for the better. I believe this testimony is common at Potter's. Potter's is God's place. It is holy ground, and it should be revered as such. I love God. I love you guys. And I love Potter's. Love, adios, and ping on. Which in Mandarin is, I think, health, good health or something. I don't know. And that's from Dirk. So, these are the people that if you have any kinds of concerns at all, spiritual, physical, whatever they may be, these are the people that you would contact. So, thank you very much. Chad has a couple of announcements, and then, first off, Cheryl is going to bring a word of prophecy, and then, joy of all joys, her daughter is going to give her testimony.
You can go now. Thanks, Chris. Couple of quick announcements. When I was traveling this past summer down in California, I was at Bethel, and they use these communion cups with the cracker in them. Some of you have seen them before. Feel free to use those. They will not take place of our regular communion that we do as a body with bread and with juice. But they will be here. We'll find a basket or a bucket somewhere. They'll be here in the service. So if you feel led to take communion privately or with somebody, it's a great cup. It's got the cracker in it and the bread in it as well. So that's there. And I just wanted to share a quick word. Alvin is not here this weekend, but he will definitely get opportunity to preach and to share. So this word is in regards to prophecy, and I was just reading this week. It says, if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and he will worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So when we were given the opportunity to have another word of prophecy shared, this came up in my heart. I was thinking, you know, this is really the result of prophetic words coming forth and the prophetic being allowed in a body to rise up. So Cheryl, if you want to come and share what God has shown you there, that would be an awesome encouragement for us. Also in 1 Thessalonians, it's okay. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. I think it was Kent Hovind that said, eat the meat and spit out the bones. And so I always kind of remember that. But do not treat prophecies with contempt. So, yeah.
I'll just put it here. Okay, great, thank you. Before I share this prophecy, I got a prophecy many, many months ago about this church, and I never shared it with anybody. I don't share prophecies very much. It's only been in the last short while that I've kind of went, whoa, because God said, you cannot hold this to yourself anymore. I think it must have been about March or April. I was sitting over there worshiping, and all of a sudden the Lord said, if they would just keep worshiping me like this, the heavens are going to break open over top of you. And that is real, people. If you just keep loving him and keep pressing on. I've been through these things before with pastors. I'm still alive. I love Jesus, that's why. I love him first. I am not man. Stan has done his work here. He's done a marvelous job. Church is moving on. He may be back, he may not. But Jesus is still here. He's still here. Don't lose sight of that. That is the most important person should be in your life. And if he's number one, you will never go wrong. That's a word right now. He's got number one, always, always. So keep in mind, the date of this prophecy was October the 4th when this came to me. I sent it to Pastor Stan. I had no idea what other stuff was going on. And he said, share it at prayer meeting. So I shared this last Sunday at prayer meeting because of what happened last Sunday, it wasn't a fitting time. And that's fine. So now I'm sharing it, and I think it's fitting. So what you need to do with this is you listen to it. I'm going to give you a little bit of an interpretation, and then it's up to you to make the application. That's what you do with prophecy. That's how it works. You hear the revelation. There's an interpretation. And don't say that my interpretation is right, okay? I'm just giving you through what my mindset sees, and everybody sees it differently. And then the application must come like the first prophecy came. I see some application. It's coming. It's coming. Don't despise prophecy. The Lord said, I am calling out the mature saints in this body. Go figure, hey? Those who have proven themselves, tasted of me, know me, love me without hesitation. They have walked through the valley of Baca. The valley of Baca is the valley of tears. And have not forsaken me. Whoa, that's a rough one. I've got the chills here. Oh, Jesus. These pillars will carry the coming surge of new believers. They will be able to create a holding environment for what I am doing in your midst. These people are strong in their faith, they're fearless, and are able to test every spirit. It is small now. See, it's already here. It's already here. Acknowledge it. But it will pick up momentum. Don't despise the small beginnings. Cast off everything that hinders you and come out and stand before me. You who have struggled with your flesh, forget about it. Don't sit there and stare at, oh, my, me and my problems. Don't do that. Forget about yourself and run to me. I never disappoint those who come to me. No, he doesn't. You think you're too old or you're too young. Forget about that, too. That's flesh, right? It's all flesh. You are ageless in me. Oh, Jesus. What counts is, do you love me? That's a love, love, love. Present yourselves as living sacrifices. I am about to give you increase. Get ready for the harvest. It's not, you didn't plant this. It's already grown, and you're just going to go pick some seeds. It will start slowly and pick up energy. I'm asking you to hold, love, and nurture this work just as a mother loves her child. Amen? Does a mother ever give birth to her baby and leave it on the ground? No. So you grown-ups in here are going to nurture this, and there's lots of grown-up Christians in this room, I tell you. I'm just, whoa. I am asking you, okay, I read that to you. I'm so excited I can hardly find my space here. Do this for love and do not waver in this place. Your reward will be great. Pillars of the church, this is what I understand of it and my interpretation, are the mature saints, not necessarily mature in years. It's got nothing to do with dog years, guys. It's spirit years. But what have you done in the years that you've been born again? Have you loved him? Have you eaten of him? Have you tasted of him? These are people that have ministries. We need the fivefold grown up in here. We've already got them. And they are apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. I think I got that wrong order, but something like that. They're already here. And I'm going to call out a couple people right now, and then that's as far as I'm going to go because I might be stepping out of protocol here. But there's a pastor right there with the gift of knowledge. And there's an evangelist right there with the gift of prophecy. And there's another pastor with the gift of prophecy. It's all over the room. And there's a little prophet right there. So you're all over. There's pastors here. There's evangelists. Apostles, God hasn't said anything. He hasn't said anything to me. But there are people here. There are people here. So praise the Lord. Do what you need to do with this.
Thanks, sister. Wow. I think you said about 15 things that was on my heart all week. Praise the Lord. There's many of us in here, and I think that's why I loved walking into Potter's when I first came in. The first word that really was on my heart and was, I'm home. And I was loved unconditionally. And I think that the thing that's always kind of excited me about here is I've always felt that there's freedom to grow up in the giftings and the callings of God. And as he is leading, there is the freedom to grow up in the ministry that God is calling us to. So, Cheryl, just you really hit that on the head there, the fivefold. And so it's exciting to see what's going to happen. We're going to follow Christ. We're not going to follow the leaders, but we're just going to follow the Lord as he leads. So, Victoria, if you would come and share what God's put on your heart and probably have some of your testimony in there. If not, just preach.
All right. Thank you. Hello, everybody. My name is Victoria. a little bit shooken up with the spirit, so bear with me here. All right, here we go. My mother had a rough pregnancy with me. Things started to go wrong, and I was born a month early. The doctors told her that I would likely not be breathing on my own and have to be on a respirator for a time. So I was born a blue baby. The doctors thought I'd be okay, but during the first week of life, I stopped breathing twice, just like SIDS, S-I-D-S. And the nurse had to pound me back to life twice. Oh. It was very terrifying for my parents. Can you imagine that? I'm pretty scared too. All along, the church was praying for me, and especially my mother and my dad. And my mother and my dad's mentor, Pastor Gary Coral, and she came and laid hands on me and told them all I would be okay. When I was 18 months old, my parents knew something was wrong. They noticed I was unable to speak. My parents took me to the doctor, and again, I went through a battery of tests, and they diagnosed me with pervasive development disorder. My mom was furious over it, they both together went praying for me, laying hands on me every night, and claiming healing for my brain. So I thank the Lord for all their prayers and amazing strong faith in the Lord. When I was 4.5 years old, my parents took me down to Bethel Church in Redding, in California, then to Spokane Healing Rooms. Mom had received a prophetic word in Bethel, and it was an amazing breakthrough for her. But I was still a real handful. Mom said I was sometimes so very difficult because I couldn't talk, so I screamed and got physical. If I wasn't hurt, I let you know by punching you. I was like that to get attention. Often my dad had to watch over me because I was just too much for my mom to handle. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was a handful. Anyway, and Spokane was known for healing many of the sick and weary. So my parents believed that the healing anointing was there. I was prayed over, but nothing happened. I was still the same. On our way back home, my parents played worship music, and then something amazing happened. They heard someone singing in the back seat. My mother looked back. Woo. My mother looked back to my sister. She thought my sister was singing. But my sister pointed to me. I was the one who was singing. Singing to the Lord and giving him praise. My first words were, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord!" I began talking, and within a few months, I was nearly caught up with my age level. The medical team at the hospital had no explanation for it. They had never seen a miracle before. I was finally healed. I am forever grateful for the prayers of my parents and from other people. When I was in grade 5, I was assessed again by a psychologist. They told my mother that I was incapable to go beyond grade 7. When she was told this, she refused to believe this evil report. My mom and dad decided to go home, homeschool me, and the old-fashioned way, because in school they were treating me like I was retarded. They didn't think I could learn much because of the lies of the enemy. So from about grade 4 to grade 7, I was homeschooled. I learned all the basics and did very well. Dad taught me math. My mom, being a teacher already, taught me to print better and then to write and read. When I was old enough to understand when my parents led me to the Lord, as they had led many children in our home to the Lord. They fostered lots of children, and they shared the gospel with them and invite them to know Jesus. When I came to the Lord, it was at that time I started to learn how to love him. And now I want you to know what the Lord has done for me. He healed me so well. I'm not only got past grade 7. I just graduated from grade 12 last year. Hallelujah. Yeah. I had honors in grade 10 and 11. I'm recently in grade 13, getting some extra sciences so I can attend university. The Lord, through his Holy Spirit, has always been with me, and I can feel his presence even now. Oh, a little shaken up. Oh, it's so powerful. He is in all of us, whether we choose to believe it or not. He has always been there for you, for all of us. Early this summer, when my mom and I were worshiping the Lord, we could feel God heavily upon us. Then I started to speak in tongues. And I feel like I am at a new place in him. My relationship with the Lord has fast-tracked. He has given me prophetic words all the time and speaking to me often. I feel his love so much, so much. His love has spurred me on to reach out to the youth. I'm hopeful God will provide me a way for me to minister to them and give them this anointing I feel upon me. I so much want them to experience the Holy Spirit, yes, and come to love him like I do. Thank you for letting me speak today. God bless you.
Thanks, bless you. Thank you. Praise God.
Wow.
I forgot to mention, these are also for those of you who have Bible studies in your homes. Feel free to take handfuls and have communion there as well. Brother Doug, bring the word. Bless you.
All blessings flow. God is a God of miracles. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to Potter Sands. Glad you're here. I was going to start my message with a Billy Sunday thing. Billy Sunday, he used to have a chair beside his pulpit, and he used to walk up and he'd say, "Whiskey's okay in its place." He'd break the chair, but his place is the burning fires of hell. And I thought, that's Billy Sunday. That's not Driver Doug, so I didn't do that. Actually, you know what? Billy Sunday, he's an amazing preacher. He's a hellfire preacher. But he had these revivals and tent meetings, and it was at one of those meetings that this young farmer accepted Jesus. And his name was Billy Graham. And he's led tens of thousands of people to the Lord. So there's something in hellfire preaching, I guess. It didn't do much for me. It kind of scared me. Put a wrong fear of God in me, actually, growing up in the church I grew up in. It's not a right fear of God. A right fear of God is a holy, reverent respect. That's what it means, a reverence. Yeah. Anyhow. So God wants me to speak on, why don't we... talk to him before we even start. How about that? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is eternal, settled in the heavens. Logos, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your rhema word. You still speak today. You haven't lost your voice. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. Thanks for speaking to Cheryl and Vicky and all of us. We listen for your voice. You see, your word says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." So thank you, Father, for your word. The written word, Logos, and the rhema word. You're just an awesome, living, holy, reverent, wonderful, awesome God. be with your servant today, Lord, as I speak in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yeah, so this is a little difficult. It's a little difficult message, but it's what he wants me to speak on. That's what he said. What do you want me to say, Lord? He said, talk about obedience. Oh, that's kind of harsh. There's condemnation there. No. Just talk about obedience and about me. So that's what I'm going to do. I just called it the blessings of obedience. And but I'm going to start with, like at the kitchen, when I'm at, oh man, it was great at the kitchen yesterday, but I picked up some used needles right on the sidewalk out in front of the kitchen yesterday, and it's kind of harsh. It's kind of scary. You know, you can be revolted and turned off by that, or you can be saddened that people would be going to the wrong God for comfort, eh? Drugs. Greek word pharmakia. It's translated into four English words. Magic arts, druggings in the King James, sorcery, witchcraft. So, prescription drugs, if you're abusing prescription drugs, that's pharmakia as well. What you're doing is worshiping Satan, friends. It's pretty harsh. It's going to the wrong God. Yeah. So I just wanted to say that. Anyhow, obedience. So let's open our Bibles. Oh, before I forget, I just want you to really encourage you to be here next week, because we've lined up my friend Pastor George to speak. I really wanted to do this for a long time. I'm sorry it had to be under this circumstances, but it doesn't matter. Pastor George Harrison Ministries, a guy I went to Cuba with 3 years ago. Man, I didn't think I was going to come back. I was just like, am I going to come back? You know, and George was really nervous about bringing me down there, right? Because he thought I was going to blow his cover for his 20-year-old ministry, you know, like as my mouth. I think he was, anyway. Anyhow, Pastor George and Madeline Harrison go to Liberty, and he's an elder there with Pastor George Bradley and Pastor George Bob Galeen. And he's just an incredible man of God. Pastor George says to me, he's not a man of God, he's just a good man with a great God. And I go, well, no, he's a great man of God. He supports 25 pastors in Cuba. Like, he's a long-term missionary. He goes down there in the winter for two weeks, and he's a long-term missionary in the South Sudan. And he's found the ground very fertile in the South Sudan. It's so hot over there, you can't even stand on the sand with sandals. Like, you know, he's built a church over there. It's just like an amazing, impregnable fortress. It's a 18-inch solid stone walls. And he preaches the gospel, and people just believe, and they get saved. Imagine that. It's really good. He's just a great guy. He's a really gifted teacher. Really encourage you to be here next week. Bring a friend. So, back to obedience. let's just start with disobedience. What happens with disobedience a little bit first, because that's what I do at the kitchen. I start with the bad news sometimes. Makes the good news even better. let's open our Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy, maybe. Okay. I mumble a lot, sorry. Maybe I'll speak with my head down. How's that? All right. Preaching voice. I never went to seminary, so bear with me. It's a seminary, sorry. Thanks, Iris. So I don't do the voice annotations, so okay. This is my second sermon, so bear with me. Pastor Charlie was gracious enough to let me preach at his church, and it was really great. He's a great man of God, too. Anyhow, let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy. No, it wasn't Deuteronomy. It was, I didn't write it down here. Just a second. Maybe it was Deuteronomy 6. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, theologians say Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 8. I can't remember which ones. It's just the most important chapter in the whole Word of God, Deuteronomy. 6 is the Shema. Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The Lord alone, He is God. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. Hebrew tongues. Gave you the translation first. Deuteronomy. Just after, it's the last book of the Pentateuch. Pentateuch, the first 5 books in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses wrote them. Of course, the Holy Spirit wrote all Scripture. Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8. I'm starting with obedience, not disobedience. Deuteronomy 8 is an amazing chapter in the Bible. Like, have you read it? This is the first question Moses is going to ask you when you get to heaven. Did you read my book? Books. Deuteronomy 8, New King James. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way through these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart. Wow. Whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowing you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your garments, that, and Jesus quoted that in Matthew 4:4, and the word for word in the Greek there is rhema. It's not black and white letters on a page. It's, what did you say? It's him speaking. Or he'll do that too. He'll rhema the word right to you. He did that to me once. Actually, it was what Matthias said last weekend. Micah 6:7-8. That's an amazing story. I was really struggling with this little sin, and God spoke to me right over the radio on whatever. And he said, though you sin in the darkness, I will be your light. Wow. And he changed it. He changed sit to sin for me. He's the Holy Spirit. He can do that. That's amazing. And Matthias mentioned it last week. It was really powerful. Very, very powerful when God speaks to you. Where are we? Verse 4. Your garments did not wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out in 40 years. And their feet didn't swell. That's a miracle. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you, or disciplines. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of your Lord, of your God, the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity and in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of hills, whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I command you today. Least, and this is all warning, eh? Least when you have eaten and are filled, you have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. Wow. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and gold are multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up or becomes proud, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were many fiery serpents and scorpions, thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you. I heard a theologian say once that God never humbles you. It's always you have to humble yourself before God. Well, it's not what the Bible says. that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good, to do you good in the end. Wow, then you say in your heart, my power is in the might of my own hand, and I've gained this wealth. Then you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore with your fathers, as it is this day. Yeah, then, two verses left. Then it shall be that if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify you to against you this day that you shall surely perish. Ouch. John 3:16. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Wow, and that part about the flinty rock, like, there was two times when God told Moses, get the whiners and grumblers some water. They're wearying me. And he said to Moses the first time, he said, hit the rock. Moses hit it, water come out for everybody, flocks, herds, everything. Come out for everybody. And the second time, God said, speak to the rock. And Moses, in just a moment of anger, he goes, must I get water for you rebels? And he hits the rock. And water came out. But he was prevented from entering the promised land because of that one little tiny sin. That's amazing. Like, because he wasn't reverenced. God said, you didn't reverence me. Wow. Wow. He took him up to Mount Pisgah, I think it is, and he showed him all the promised land. He says, you're not going to come in. You're not going to enter in. And God buried him on the mountain. Wow. Wow. And God, Moses was his friend. That's amazing. A couple other examples of disobedience in the old. I can't even read my writing, so I'm just going to speak. A couple other examples are, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. You know, Aaron had four sons, and they were destined to be high priests. Like, Aaron was a high priest, and the high priest led you into worship and brought the sacrifice that took away your sins for a whole year, covered your sins for a whole year. Now, of course, we have Jesus Christ, who is the eternal once for all sacrifice for sins. The veil has been rent. The veil is his body. He died on the cross. He rent his body for us. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow. Once for all. Hebrews. Oh, Don likes Romans. I don't know. I like Hebrews. It's an awesome book. It's an incredible book. It's an amazing book. The whole, every word of God is flawless. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Nadab and Abihu, they brought the wrong fire in their incense burners, and God just smoked them and burnt them up. And then he told Aaron not to mourn for his sons. Whoa, like what manner of love is that? You've got to approach God with reverence. He's a reverent, holy God. Wow, that's amazing. I know what you're thinking. Doug, you're really dealing a lot with the old covenant here. We're not under the old covenant of law. We're under grace. All right, Don. We'll go to the new covenant. Ananias and Sapphira. Oh, Ananias and Sapphira, new covenant after the cross. Lied to the Holy Spirit. Everybody was bringing money in. Barnabas sold all of his lands. He's a fairly wealthy guy. Brought the money in, laid it at the apostles' feet. They distributed it out to the church. The church was one body, one mind. They just said, yeah, we got to do that too. And but let's just, we don't want to bring it all in. And, Peter says, what was in your heart that you could lie to the Holy Spirit? Whump, dead. His wife comes in later, same story. Peter says, is this what happened? Yes, this is what happened. Dead. Young men come out and buried them. And great fear came upon the church. Fear of the Lord. Like, whoa, don't lie to the Holy Spirit, whatever you do. You know? It's, wow. Acts 5. Yeah, Ananias and Sapphira. Are they in heaven? I think they are. I really do. They were, it says they were like believers, I think. But they made a big mistake. And sometimes your mistake, like, we're not, like, definitely, we've been delivered from the penalty of sin. It's been paid on the cross. Once for all, past, present, and future, for everyone who's ever lived, the penalty has been paid. But we're still not quite delivered from the presence of sin yet. And we are being delivered from the power of sin. One day we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's incredible blessings for obedience. They went in and they inherited the land. They lived in houses they didn't build. They harvested crops they didn't plant. They followed God. And Pastor Stan's been teaching to us about Joshua. And Joshua was 110 when he died. And he was just as strong at 80 as he was at 40. And he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And I love the part, like, I'm not sure if Stan mentioned it or not, but I love the part where Joshua, you know, comes across the angel of the Lord. And he sees this mighty angel with his sword drawn. And he goes, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And God, it's Jesus, right? It's not an angel, friends. It's a capital A. It's Jesus. And he goes, "Neither." Or he goes, "No." In the King James, he goes, "No. But I am the commander." Like, he's holy. You can't just, he's.
Amen. Thanks, Doug. God is bigger than all the things that we face. We can get through anything with Him. You know, this church started as five families 15 years ago, just as a Bible study. It wasn't intended to be a church or anything else. It was just five of us that got tired of church politics and church splits and all the rest of it. All we wanted to do was worship God. God grew this into what it is today. It's not us. It's not Stan. It's not Chris. It's, you know what? I think, Chris, we're the only two left of the five families that started. But God just continues to grow and to bless. And He's going to keep doing that. I believe that. I believe that prophecy is right on. God is doing a work here. We need to recognize that it's Him. It's got nothing to do with the people on stage. It's got nothing to do with even with you. It's all Him. It's all Him. Let's just join together one more song before we go today. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring His seat before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the goal. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Just a voice. In the cross.
In the cross be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen. Amen.